From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Given China's success in lifting hundreds of millions of people out of poverty, which is one of the most remarkable achievements in human history, we will help rally the world this weekend around new development goals, including our goal to end extreme poverty.
That was President Barack Obama at a joint press conference Friday with China's President Xi Jinping outside the White House as he announced a plan of global cooperation with China that was itself remarkable.
For the first time, the U.S. and China will formally partner to promote global development. Building on our efforts against Ebola, we'll work to strengthen global health security. We'll expand our joint efforts on humanitarian assistance, disaster response, agricultural development, and food security.
There weren't many specifics offered by President Obama or his counterpart from China on that plan. Those will be likely left to the two heads of state for their scheduled presentations Monday at the UN General Assembly's opening session of the annual general debate. Presidents Obama and Xi are each set to speak at Monday morning's session, as is the President of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin. Also scheduled for Monday's morning session are the presidents of Brazil, Iran, and South Korea, among others, with Monday's afternoon session expected to feature the heads of state from Cuba, South Africa, Argentina, and Zimbabwe, among others. All told, 39 heads of state are expected to make their presentations during the opening session of next week's debate. President Xi also spoke at Friday's White House press conference.
President Obama, dear friends from the press, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, good morning. It's a great pleasure for me to meet with all of you together with President Obama. Let me begin by thanking again President Obama and the U.S. government for the gracious hospitality and thoughtful arrangements and warm reception accorded to me and the Chinese delegation. I also want to thank the American people for the warm welcome. Yesterday and today, President Obama and I have had in-depth discussions on our respective domestic and foreign policies, important topics in bilateral relations, international and regional situation. Our meetings are constructive and productive, and we have reached extensive and important consensus. During the discussions, President Obama shared with me the domestic agenda and foreign policy priorities that he has been working on, and I congratulated him on the progress that he has made in those areas. I appreciate President Obama's reaffirmation to me that the United States welcomes the rise of a peaceful, stable, and prosperous China. It supports China to play a bigger role in the international arena, and the United States supports China's reform and opening up. I indicated to President Obama that China is making all-round efforts to deepen comprehensive reform, to build law-based governance, to enforce strict party discipline, so as to achieve the grand goal of building a society of initial prosperity in all respects. The reform and opening up of China will not stop. China is firmly committed to the path of peaceful development. It is committed to growing friendship and cooperative relations with all countries in the world. To work with the United States to build the new model of major country relationship without conflict, without confrontation, with mutual respect and win-win cooperation is a priority in China's foreign policy. We have spoken highly of the important progress made in China-U.S. relations since the Sunnyland Summit in 2013, and we have agreed to follow the consensus, expand the practical cooperation in various areas at the bilateral, regional, and global level, and manage differences and sensitive issues in constructive manner, and to advance the new model of major country relationship between China and the United States. We have agreed to deepen the practical cooperation in various areas at the bilateral scope. This includes We have agreed to vigorously push forward the bilateral investment treaty negotiation, speed up the pace of the work so as to achieve a high standard and balanced agreement. We will expand mutually beneficial cooperation in energy, environmental protection, science and technology, aviation, infrastructure, agriculture, health, and other areas. The two governments and relevant agencies have signed many cooperation agreements and our business a series of commercial contracts. China and the United States are highly complementary economically, and there is huge potential for further cooperation. For the United States to recognize China's market economy status and ease export control on civilian high-tech items, it will help expand the mutually beneficial cooperation between the two countries. We have also had in-depth discussion on the current international economic and financial situation. We have agreed to step up macroeconomic policy coordination and jointly promote global economic growth and financial stability. To this end, we have established the mechanism on regular phone conversation on economic affairs between China and the United States, which will be led by Vice Premier Wang Yang of China and Secretary of Treasury Jacob Lew. They will stay in close communication on respective and global major economic issues. We will also step up cooperation within G20, the World Bank, IMF, and other multilateral mechanisms. I appreciate the U.S. supporting, including the RMB, into the IMF special drawing rights when certain standards of the IMF are met. And I also appreciate the U.S. commitment to implement the IMF quota and governance structure reform plan adopted at the G20 summit in 2010 at an early date. We have fully affirmed the new progress made in the confidence building mechanisms between the two militaries. We have agreed to step up exchanges and policy dialogues between the two militaries at all levels, hold more joint exercises and training. We believe that terrorism is the common enemy of mankind, and we have agreed to step up multilateral and bilateral counterterrorism cooperation. We have decided to increase communication and cooperation on counter-piracy, humanitarian assistance and disaster reduction and international peacekeeping operation, and also anti-cooperation law enforcement cooperation to jointly fight against all kinds of transnational corruption crimes. We have in-depth discussion on the situation of the Asia-Pacific, and we believe that China and the United States have extensive common interests in this region, and we should continue to deepen dialogue and cooperation on regional affairs and work together to promote active interactions and inclusive cooperation in the Asia-Pacific and work with countries in the Asia-Pacific to promote peace, stability, and prosperity in this region. China is committed to the path of peaceful development and a neighboring foreign policy characterized by good neighborliness and partnership with our neighbors. Islands in the South China Sea since ancient times are China's territory. We have the right to uphold our own territorial sovereignty and lawful and legitimate maritime rights and interests. We are committed to maintaining peace and stability in the South China Sea, managing differences and disputes through dialogue, and addressing disputes through negotiation, consultation, and peaceful manner, and exploring ways to achieve mutual benefit through cooperation. We are committed to respecting and upholding the freedom of navigation and overflight that countries enjoy according to international law. Relevant construction activities that China are undertaking in the islands of South Nansha Islands do not target or impact any country, and China does not intend to pursue militarization. China and the United States have a lot of common interest on the issue of South China Sea. We both support peace and stability of the South China Sea. The countries directly involved should address their dispute through negotiation, consultation, and in peaceful means. And we support freedom of navigation and overflight of countries according to international law. and the management of differences through dialogue and full and effective implementation of DOC and an early conclusion of the consultation on COC based on consensus building. We have agreed to maintain constructive communication on relevant issues. China and the United States are two major cyber countries, and we should strengthen dialogue and cooperation. Confrontation and friction are not the right choice for both sides. During my visit, the competent authorities of both countries have reached important consensus on joint fight against cyber crimes. Both sides agreed to step up crime cases, investigation assistance, and information sharing, and both governments would not engage in or knowingly support online theft of intellectual properties, and we will explore the formulation of appropriate state behavior norms of the cyber state, of the cyberspace, and we will establish a high-level joint dialogue mechanism on the fight against cybercrimes and related issues, and to establish hotline links. Democracy and human rights are the common pursuit of mankind. At the same time, we must recognize that countries have different historical processes and realities, that we need to respect people of all countries' rights to choose their own development path independently. The Chinese people are seeking to realize the great renewal of the Chinese nation, which is the Chinese dream. This process, in essence, is a process to achieve social equity and justice and advancing human rights. China stands ready to, in the spirit of equality and mutual respect, conduct human rights dialogue with the United States, expand consensus, reduce differences, learn from each other, and progress together. We have decided to continue to work together to tackle global challenges and provide more public goods for the international community. We again issued a joint announcement on climate change. We have agreed to expand bilateral practical cooperation, strengthen coordination in multilateral negotiation, and work together to push the Paris Climate Change Conference to produce important progress. We have signed China-US Development Cooperation MOU, and we have agreed to expand trilateral cooperation in Asia, Africa, and other regions in terms of food security, public health system establishment, emergency response, and disaster reduction. And we will maintain communication and coordination in implementing the post-2015 development agenda, promote a more equitable and balanced global development partnership, and help developing countries to achieve common development. We have agreed to firmly uphold the international nuclear non-proliferation regime. President Obama and I welcome the comprehensive joint plan of action reached by relevant parties regarding the Iranian nuclear issue. We reaffirm that all relevant parties should undertake to implement the agreement fully and work together to implement all relevant United Nations Security Council resolutions. We reaffirm our commitment to realize the complete and verifiable denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula in a peaceful way. And we oppose any action that might cause tension in the Korean Peninsula or violate UN Security Council resolution. We believe that the September the 19th joint statement of the six-party talks and relevant UN Security Council resolutions should be implemented in full, and all relevant parties should work together to firmly advance the denuclearization process of the Korean Peninsula and maintain peace and stability so as to achieve enduring peace and stability in Northeast Asia. The friendship between the two peoples is the most reliable foundation for long-term and stable development of China-US relations, and we should endeavor to solidify this important foundation. We have decided to make 2016 a year of tourism for China and the United States. In the next 3 years, we will fund a total of 50 1,000 students to study in each other's countries. We also welcome the United States' decision to extend the 100,000 strong initiative from universities to elementary and secondary schools, and by 2020, 1 million American students will learn Mandarin. The door of friendship of China will continue to be open to the American people. I also hope that the Chinese people could come to the United States for holidays or visits more easily and conveniently. Mr. President, with 36 years of development, there are broader areas that the two sides should and can work together. The Chinese side stands ready to work with the United States to uphold a spirit of perseverance and advance bilateral relations, to seek further progress to the better benefits of the Chinese and American people and the people of in the world. Thank you.
Another standing ovation for Pope Francis, this time at the UN General Assembly in New York. Earlier in the day, the Pope spoke with a group of UN staffers. He thanked them for the work they do and for their help in the preparations for his visit.
Your quiet and devoted walk not only contributes to the betterment of the United Nations, it also has great significance for you personally, for how we walk expresses our dignity and the kind of persons we are. But today and every day, I would ask each of you, whatever your capacity, to care one another. Be close to one another. Respect one another. And so, embody among yourselves this organization's ideal of a united human family, living in harmony, working not only for peace, but in peace, working not only for justice, but in a spirit of justice. Dear friends, I bless each one of you from my heart. I will pray for you and your families, and I ask each one of you, please, to remember to pray for me. And if any of you are not believer, I ask you to wish me well.
Friday's papal visit to the UN followed the Pope's presentation to a joint session of Congress in Washington Thursday. That visit apparently had a major effect on one of the Beltway's most powerful politicians, Speaker of the House of Representatives John Boehner, who was visibly moved to tears numerous times as Pope Francis pleaded with Congress for help for the poor, respect for peace, and mercy towards those who run afoul of the law, along with a repeat of his earlier calls to protect the environment and against climate change. Friday morning, the usually tough and combative congressman from Ohio was again teary-eyed as he informed his Republican colleagues that he intended to resign both as Speaker and from the Congress at the end of October. As he exited the meeting with his fellow party members, Boehner, visibly tearing as he slogged through a sea of reporters on what looked more like a TV perp walk, was asked how he felt.
Like weight off your shoulders?
It's a wonderful day. All right, here, come on, make a hole here.
Make a path, please.
Here, come on.
Excuse me, sir.
Under increasing pressure from conservatives in his party, Boehner was reportedly seeking a plan to keep the government open through the rest of the year while fending off pressure from a growing base of conservatives in his caucus who, according to a report in the New York Times, had told him that they would not vote for a funding bill that did not defund Planned Parenthood. According to the Times article, several of those members were on a path to remove Boehner as speaker. At a press conference later Friday, Boehner said he had previously planned to resign at the end of this year. However, he admitted that the Pope's address to Congress factored in his decision to resign at this time.
Just yesterday, we witnessed the awesome sight of Pope Francis addressing the greatest legislative body in the world. And I hope that we will all heed his call to live by the golden rule. But last night, I started thinking about this. And this morning, I woke up and I said my prayers, as I always do. And I decided, today's the day I'm going to do this. As simple as that. That's the code I've always lived by. If you do the right things for the right reasons, the right things will happen. It's been an honor to serve in this institution. And with that, all right, Junior, go ahead.
Boehner, you were noticeably overcome with emotion yesterday.
Really?
Pope
Francis. Oh, what a surprise.
I'm curious, if you reached this decision last night, if the grace of Pope Francis led you to this decision?
No. Yesterday was a wonderful day. It really was. And was I emotional yesterday? Yeah, I think I was. I was really emotional in a moment that really no one saw. The Pope and I were getting ready to exit the building. We found ourselves alone. And the Pope grabbed my left arm and said some very kind words to me about my commitment to kids and education. And the Pope puts his arm around me and kind of pulls me to him and says, "Please pray for me." Well, who am I? Pray for the Pope, but I did. Listen, it was never about the vote, all right? There was never any doubt about whether I could survive a vote. I don't want my members to have to go through this. I certainly don't want the institution to go through this. And so, especially when, I knew I was thinking about walking out the door anyway. So it's the right time to do it, and frankly, I am entirely comfortable doing it.
Mr. Speaker, I've heard you say before that a leader who doesn't have anybody following him is just a guy taking a walk.
That's right. So I got plenty of people. I got plenty of people following me. But this turmoil that's been churning now for a couple of months is not good for the members, and it's not good for the institution. And if I wasn't planning on leaving here soon, I can tell you I would not have done this.
Yeah. People who are on the right in your caucus and even outside of this institution who have been wanting you to step down for some time who feel that they have a victory today. Do you feel that you were pushed out?
No. The members, I'm glad I made this announcement at the conference with all of my Republican colleagues because it was a very good moment to help kind of rebuild the team. I feel good about what I've done. I know that I've tried to do the right things for the right reasons and tried to do the right thing for the country.
How can this not be a moment of turmoil? You said you thought about leaving 2 years ago after Canada. But at the time, you said this would have pitched the house in turmoil. You have to keep the government open in a couple of days, debt ceiling. There's going to be...
I'm going to be here for another
barn burner of leadership.
I'm going to be here for another 5 weeks, and I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to sit around here and do nothing for the next 30 days. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and I plan on getting as much of it done as I can before I exit.
And as a result, though, does that make it easier in some ways to make some tougher decisions, maybe relying on Democrats to keep the government open next week or something?
No, I'm going to make the same decisions I would have made regardless of this.
You've made no secret of your frustration with some members of your far right flank, and some outside groups you've used words like knuckleheads and some other words we probably can't use on television. Had you just had enough, and how will anything be different for the next speaker?
No, I let me tell you, I would not describe it as having had enough. And that's not it at all. When you're the Speaker of the House, your number one responsibility is to the institution. And having a vote like this in the institution, I don't think is very healthy. And so I've done everything I can over my term as Speaker to strengthen the institution. And frankly, my move today is another step in that effort to strengthen the institution.
Won't the next speaker face the same thing?
Hopefully not.
That's my question, Mr. Speaker. How will Washington be different because you leave this institution? What should people watching this expect the House and Congress to do going forward if you're not here?
Well, if the Congress stays focused on the American people's priorities, there will be no problem at all. And while we have differences between Democrats and Republicans, the goal here as one of the leaders is to find the common ground. Listen, I talked to President Bush and President Obama this morning. I've talked to all my legislative leaders, who I have a very good relationship with all of them. Because at the end of the day, the leaders have to be able to find the common ground to get things done. So if the Congress stays focused on what is important to the American people, they'll get along just fine.
Can you tell us how your conference reacted to the news?
Oh, I say they were shocked. Surprised.
Maybe how the leadership itself reacted?
Yeah, I told Mr. McCarthy about 2 minutes before I spoke what I was going to do. I had to tell him 5 times because he didn't believe me. I said, well, you better believe me.
Should McCarthy be the next speaker?
Listen, I'm not going to be here to vote on the next speaker, but that's up to the members. But having said that, I think that Kevin McCarthy would make an excellent speaker.
At his earlier press conference, President Obama said he would try to get as much work done as possible while Boehner is still at the helm on Capitol Hill.
I'm not going to prejudge who the next speaker will be. That's something that will have to be worked through in the House. And I will certainly reach out immediately to whoever who is the new speaker to see what his or her ideas are and how we can make progress in the important issues that America faces. The one thing I will say is that my hope is there's a recognition on the part of the next speaker, something I think John understood, even though at times it was challenging to bring his caucus along, that we can have significant differences on issues, but that doesn't mean you shut down the government. That doesn't mean you risk the full faith and credit of the United States. You don't invite a potential financial crises. You build roads and pass transportation bills, and you do the basic work of governance that ensures that our military is operating and that our national parks are open and that our kids are learning. And there's no weakness in that. There's that's what government is in our democracy. You don't get what you want 100% of the time. And so sometimes you take half a loaf, sometimes you take a quarter loaf. And that's certainly something that I've learned here in this office. So I'm looking forward to working with the next speaker. In the meantime, John's not going to leave for another 30 days, so hopefully he feels like getting as much stuff done as he possibly can, and I'll certainly be looking forward to working with him on that.
And we will follow this story as it develops. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.